Welcome to Reality NSFW. It's the Deep Dive Podcast. We're talking Survivor Season 41, Episode 11 already. Man, the season is going by very, very quick. I am your host, Lauren Pratt, along with my co-host, Alex Rubino.
Yes, it is going by very, very quickly. And we are finally dipping our toes into the Big Brother pool for our guests today. We've got the person who, one of the founding members of the one of the most successful alliances in Big Brother history. From season 12, it is the one and only Matt Hoffman. Matt, how are you?
Thanks, Alex. What an intro. Good to be here. Thanks for remembering who I am. Your viewers are probably very confused, I'm sure, by this booking here, but fun times.
This is one I had.
I don't think you call that. The viewers should know. Is this live or are we recording?
Yeah, we're live.
This is live.
So people are watching right now. They can comment.
A few.
A few, okay, thousands. Well, anyway, I just met you guys like minutes ago, right? So I'm still curious. Why am I here? How did this happen? How did you even know I watched Survivor? What on to get me here?
Take it away, Alex.
I mean, it was kind of.
Does Lauren have any idea who I am?
Oh my gosh, I'm a huge Big Brother fan. I follow Big Brother. So yes, I absolutely do know you.
Yes, but I will admit, Matt, you were one of my picks of just people I thought it was like, all right, Big Brother people, who do I know has watched Survivor? I've heard you on podcasts before. I had a feeling. I was like, I'm pretty sure you're watching the season. Then I found out you were.
Yeah, no, I do. I loved it. I love Survivor.
Yes.
So what is your overall take of the season so far then?
It's good. Like, I always think Survivor in recent years has been better than recent Big Brother, I think. I like old school Big Brother better than old Survivor, or at least that era Survivor. But yeah, new Survivor's been good. I don't like Probst getting into like breaking the third or the fourth wall, whatever they call it, and you know, when you're talking to the camera. I'm not into that. That's a little Julie Chen Moonves-ish-y to me, like addressing the audience.
At least Jeff knows what's going on.
I love him as a host. I absolutely do. I feel like here's where I'm not. Here's where I'm different. And Big Brother is like Big Brother. I do kind of get into the community. I'll goof around on Reddit and I'll tweet about the show. Like Survivor, I've watched the episodes and I am done. I don't go on the internet. I don't know anything about these people and what's happening or what the fans think about anything. So fans typically, do they like Probst or not? Because I think he's awesome.
I think he gets a lot of crap mostly as an executive producer, but I think as a host, he's decently well liked.
He seems to like get into the competitions and stuff. I like him, but yeah, I don't like that too. It's getting too twisty this season.
It is very twisty. I mean, what I have to say about Jeff, very, very passionate host. He's been doing it for so many years, and it's just you have to look back from season one to where we are now with Jeff, and just the amount of passion, how into it he is amazing to watch.
Yeah,
I agree.
All right, so we start the episode right after that huge Shan blindside, and Liana's pissed, as one would expect. She's yelling at Danny and Deshaun, and Deshaun's saying he's concerned about like what Shan said, calling him a snake out the door. Lauren, what do you think about all this?
Well, Liana has every right to be upset in that moment because it's really difficult to not be on the right side of the vote, not know what's going on, and then having to come back with people that you thought were your allies and then have that interaction. But Matt, what's your overall take on this? Because especially you've played in a reality television show and you have people after votes occur not on the right side of the vote and not necessarily knowing what's going on in the game.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is fun. This was a fun one because it really did shift the whole power of the game. You know, like Xander getting into now a power position from being low and stuff like that. So this was a total flip-flop, like just the episode and when it happened. I like that. To me, it's like that's the game. I feel like you should – it's hard to not get, like, upset or just be, like, bummed out, like, oh, I got duped, bummed out. But to, like, be really, like, upset at someone – at another player in the game who's also out for the prize, you know, the million-dollar prize, it's like – you're just doing what you're supposed to be doing, what you think is best for the game. So I think the best thing to do is to not get emotional about it. You just got to kind of take the blow and regroup and figure it out.
Yeah. If you were Liana, would you go back with Danny and Deshaun after they just blindsided you?
I mean, I played kind of a dumb game myself. I feel I was a little bit, I was duped a bit. I was like way too loyal to my alliance. So if you asked me like at the time, you know, of my big brother reign, would I have done it? I probably would have gone right back with them because I was kind of a dope. But I feel like in hindsight, it's 2020. I like the logical thing is I would say, no, do not go with them. I don't think. But then again, you know, they have like there's the whole racial thing going on, too. So then she's got that, you know, which obviously was addressed plenty on the show. But that is a kind of an unspoken tie as well. It's almost like the alliance within the alliance to think about. So that's probably a bit more difficult decision.
Right. And I also think what is tough as well, as the numbers do start to dwindle, you have less and less people that you're able to work with. So, yeah, you can be upset in the moment and all of that. But then rekindling those relationships is so important. And we see that the next day, them having those conversations and say, all right, let's try and get back on the same page. Because if you just burn a complete alliance, say, I'm just simply not going to work with those people because they left me out of a particular vote, I don't think that's the best type of gameplay, because you have to be willing to work with anybody.
I like chaos play, like as a viewer. I like people jumping around and backstabbing and just doing even kind of doing dumb things at the expense or, you know, at the benefit of me, the viewer. I'm just sitting there going, this is just great television. That's what got me into this whole genre, is just all of just like the chaos going on. So there's it's hard because I feel like we've seen so many seasons of like amazing strategy in all these game shows. And so, we're losing the chaos as the years go on, I think. And it's like, everyone's trying to be like ultra strategic, and it's cool when it happens and when it works out. But I mean, I do think we lose a lot of the chaos over time in game shows nowadays, and these reality shows that I do kind of miss the instant.
I think what a lot of fans were clamoring for, especially with like Big Brother, but Survivor 2, is get players who are better at playing the game. And now I think Survivor has almost gone so far in the other direction. They've got so many players who are so good at the game.
Yes.
That they're not making small mistakes here and there, but they're not the players who are just there to cause chaos. Like I remember Edgewick Singer was one of the last scenes I can think of. Like Wendy, just there to cause chaos, like releasing chickens and all. Like I miss a little bit of that. Big Brother Canada had it. Everybody stunk at the game pretty much, but it was entertaining because they were all trying to play hard.
You both are missing something here. We had Brad on this season. And if you're going to sit
Brad
here and tell me that
minutes.
Brad didn't cause chaos.
Oh, he did. He did. But I forgot Brad was on the show.
But I'm just saying there have been chaotic moments. So we can't just say that's completely clipped from the season as a whole.
No. Oh, yeah. But what episode did Brad get voted out, Lauren? When?
Very early on. But
exactly.
You had that epic tribal council with Xander, Evie, Tiffany. That was chaotic. It was beautiful to watch.
I feel like Heather has been our best source of chaos in the post-merge, honestly.
And just in the itch, like even chaos has gotten like normalized now. Like, I don't remember when it was. You guys probably would because you're like more Survivor historians. But I remember like being in the moment, watching the episode of whatever season it was, definitely within the last probably 5 years. It was the first time that tribal, they ever did the thing where like they started just like talking to each other.
Oh, when tribal and Game Changers. When JT
and I
got
just
up.
Remember, like, it was like on the edge of your seat. Like, this is the craziest shit that has ever happened at a tribal council. And now it's like every tribal, everyone's like getting up and talking. It's like, wow, this should be so exciting, like, but because it already happened. It's like it's not as exciting. So we need to happen.
Do you think the benches at tribal council need like little seat belts that keep them in their place?
I don't know. Something needs to go on. But I do love that. I love that it's gotten a little crazy when it does happen.
Well, I think we see that all the time. Once it initially happens, people are so excited for it. But then when it gets repeated and repeated, then it kind of takes away the flame.
Yeah. Unless it just sucks right away, like some of these lists. But all right. One thing I do want to mention, once we get the next morning happens, Ricard and Deshaun talk about like, Deshaun's realizing maybe I was a little too erratic last night and too aggressive. The one thing we get that just was really, really sweet was Danny. We finally got a little bit of Danny in this episode, and we get the whole story about his dad. It was the 25-year anniversary of his dad passing in a car crash. And just having Danny talk through that whole thing, seeing the pictures of him from being a kid to now, it was really, really nice to see. And I think it's going to show that they're continuing to give us little bits about everybody, which is nice.
Yeah, personal care. Speaking of things that have changed over the years, those like personal packages, personal content seems to wane. And I agree with you, Alex. It's cool when that goes on. Big Brother used to be, you know, that was. I mean, I don't know. Are you also Alex a BB fan or just Lauren?
How do you think like I found school? You? I'm a big fan.
I don't know what goes on. So like back in the day, remember it was like a regular thing where you do like family packages and stuff, and now you like don't see that.
But in the case going to visit you to talk about your former alliance mates.
Yeah, exactly, stuff like that. But I miss that. So it is cool when they do those touches of home,
and it's important too, because then you're able to see people's true raw emotion out there, because it's difficult to be out there and not having any contact with family members, and you're really relying on other people that you just met a little bit ago. You don't know any of those people, and you're having to rely on them to survive in these tough situations, and also have to mentally figure out, can I actually trust these individuals? And so for Danny to have that moment, I think it was so important for them to show that to us.
And I think what it's done and what a lot of these have done is turn these people that we're watching from characters to actual people. It's like, I can't relate to that, but I know there are people who can relate to it, like losing a parent at a very young age. And before it's like, oh, this, how can I relate to this just big NFL player? And now you found out a way you can. You're seeing like who they are at their core. And I think this was really, really sweet to see. And then he wins immunity, which just tops it all off.
Matt, who are you rooting for in particular on this season, since there's only six people left now?
Yeah, I loved Chance. It was a bummer to see her go. Who's left?
You have good taste.
I wouldn't even care about. I guess like Ricard is. I dislike him so much that I think he's a perfect example of like why he's the kind of person you get into reality TV for, like I did in the first place. It's just like he's a character. So for that reason, I would like to see him kind of win, because I think he's the most defined as like almost like in a cartoonish way, like the way the old school reality TV characters used to have their like archetypes, and he really fits that, just like like a good reality TV. I can stab his closest person in the back. It's like barely after midseason. It was a kind of a ballsy move, and he did it. It was cool. I like the way he plays, but he irritates the shit out of me too, but that's part of the positive of him.
Why the heck does he do that?
He's just so, he seems just kind of slimy to me and sticky. And if, am I remembering this right? Is he the one who brought up for Probst to not do the guys thing anymore? Was that him?
He's the one who said it. He was the one who said it. From what I've heard, they've had like they were having discussions about it, and he was just the one who said,
"Oh, really? That was like a thing." I never mind. Well, anyway, but yeah, he's a character to me, so I don't know. I like that about him.
Yeah.
Other people just they don't stick out to me as much. Who's left? So I don't know.
I appreciate that even somebody you don't like you're able to root for, because you acknowledge the entertainment they're bringing you.
Totally.
Yes.
What about you guys? I mean, I feel you guys are more like, you know, students of the game probably than I am. So in your more educated survivor opinion, who's your picks to take this?
Who I want to win?
My pick.
Who?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think
both. I'm curious about both.
Yeah, okay. Alex, go ahead. Because I think our picks to take it and who we think is going to win is completely different.
Okay.
Yeah,
who I think will take it is Ricard. Who I want to win is Erica. Just because I think Erica winning would be kind of off the beaten path a little bit. But I think she's doing enough to deserve it. And if she takes out Ricard, then I'm like, you know what? She can win.
All right.
So who I think is still, it's crazy. I got to go with my boy Deshaun here. Still on Deshaun. Never going to leave. I've been on the Deshaun train since the beginning of this season. But I actually think now watching this, they missed their window of opportunity to get Ricard out. And so I think Ricard has a really strong case to get to the end. And when Ricard does get to the end, I think Ricard takes it.
Okay. All right. We agree on something. Look at that. All right. What I want to go to next is the immunity challenge. We have, like Matt, you mentioned earlier, Jeff breaks the fourth wall. I didn't love the way he did this, because at least with the stupid hourglass twist, he broke the fourth wall, but he explained everything. Here is what's going to happen. This was like, oh, something exciting is about to happen. Well, that's Survivor. I would hope that's how this works. We get that. We get really nothing out of it. We get them coming in. Jeff is like, oh my God, Erica and Heather said good morning to me. What's going on? And then he introduces the twist that has taken the internet by storm. What did you guys think about the do or die twist before we go into it?
I don't like things that are like really impactful like that. Like the where they took away the person's immunity earlier in the season was just outlandish to me. I would have been livid if I was playing that game.
Danny was livid. And,
yeah, what so rightfully so. And you know, there's an extent where you go, okay, I understand I'm in a game and that's like twists are part of the game, but that's just like crazy. And this is borderline that crazy. I mean, if you're especially I thought it was gonna be 50-50, you know, but then when he pulls it up and it's 2/3 odds of losing, I'm like, that is such a load of bullshit. I feel like to do that to somebody, I mean, he pulled out of it, obviously, but it's crazy.
Yeah. So just to reset this, the way it worked was that you had a choice whether to compete in the immunity challenge, which I appreciate it. You had that choice. If you played and you were first out, you had to then play Survivor Do or Die, where you had that 1/3 chance of surviving at complete random. We saw Heather and Liana were the only two to sit out, and then Deshaun is the unlucky one as at first. Lauren, what do you think about this twist before I go into it?
I'm hit or miss about the twist. I would be more frustrated if they didn't know what was going to happen. If Jeff would have just came and played the entire situation out but didn't let them know that they could be taking a risk by being the first person out and having to play this particular game, I would have been very, very frustrated about it. But they knew exactly what could happen if they decided to risk themselves playing in that challenge. So I'm not completely against it. Do I like it coming here at Final Seven? Absolutely not. But at the same time, there's always risk and reward in this type of game. So they knew what they were getting themselves into. They decided to play and it didn't work out for Deshaun. Yes, it works out for Deshaun in the end, but at the same time, Deshaun knew exactly what he was getting himself into by risking his opportunity to potentially be the first person eliminated from the challenge.
Yeah. My thing is, you know, I'm not usually not a fan of a lot of these twists. I didn't hate this one because there are aspects of it I liked. I liked the aspect of, you know what? You don't want to be a part of this. You don't have to play in the immunity challenge. I appreciated them having that choice. Like you said, telling them ahead of time. I do wish maybe they told them what the odds were and say, not just a game of chance, you have a like 1/3 chance of surviving. I do just wish it wasn't a game of chance, though. I wish it was your first out. Now you have to go do something like make fire or something where there's a little bit of skill to it that you kind of have to earn. That's what I would have done differently. Besides also not doing it at Final Seven. Thank you. I was expecting a lot worse. And I think we kind of dodged a bullet with the outcome. I don't know, Matt, what do you think of the whole twist?
No, the outcome, I mean, it made for good TV, you know. I mean, I for sure thought he was going to go home and then he did. And I was like, that's kind of fucking cool that that went down. But I'm not a twist person. I'm a purist of the gameplay. I like just watching a group of people go and try and play the game with as least manipulation from production as possible. Twists and things. I know idols have kind of become part of the game, so that's fine. That's like an inherent thing now. But other than that, it almost seems like they're trying to. This seems way more than most seasons, even just last season, any of them. It seems like they really stepped up a level on twists this year. And I don't know. It's getting like this is a big gripe I have with Big Brother. It just gets too twisty, and it's almost like they're just poaching that ideology of how a reality game show should be played. And I don't agree with that. So. Yeah.
I love how you mention all this, because I was just about to say, coming from a Big Brother person where twists have been around for so long, and now Survivor is adding more and more twists to that. And so I find it interesting that you're even against many twists, but you played in a game that has even more twists than I would say Survivor has ever had.
Yeah, well, and here's like I think some of the best things about Big Brother happen from twists, but I like a season theme, like a twist that is a theme. Like here is the twist of the season. And not like during the season we're gonna keep pumping you with these little things that fuck up your game periodically, you know, those little like in-game twists. But like, you know, like old Big Brother had, you know, the X Factor and whatever the fucking Saboteur that I had and all these things that were like, this was the theme twist. And I think that, and Survivor used to do that too, I believe. And they have in the past where it's like, you know, whatever. But the point is like, I think that's okay, because it's like, we start the game with this thing. We tell you what it is. You have the whole game to like ride out this thing. And that's the thing. But it's not like, we're not just going to be surprising you mid-game.
One thing I did like, if you're going to do a game of chance, make it the Monty Hall problem. Just like the nerd in me appreciated that.
Yeah.
But I'm a little annoyed that Deshaun, who is a very smart guy, he's in med school, did the wrong thing and was rewarded for it. I'm just a little annoyed about that. that he took the 1/3 chance instead of the 2/3 chance and won. But you know what? I guess I'm happy he's still in the game. Although the more I think about it, he was likely going home if there was a normal vote. So I guess he got lucky.
He went with his
There's
gut.
Also, oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, he went with his gut. Got to appreciate that. He didn't change up his strategy. He's like, this is my box. I'm sticking with my box.
Yes, sure. And in hindsight, it worked. But it's like you deliberately ignored the math. I don't need to go on a full whiteboard, I don't think, of explaining it. But like, he deliberately ignored the math. The math says to switch. You have 2/3 chance of switching and a 1/3 chance of if you keep the box.
That's fine, but I also feel as though they were setting him up to tempt him to make that decision and make the wrong choice. So it's kind of like a double-edged sword there. So it's really, yeah, I get you're saying he made the wrong choice, but at the end of the day, he didn't because he is still in the game.
Yeah.
I think they
wanted him to switch no matter what, whether it would have been right or wrong. That's where I'm at, but I don't know. Matt, what did you think of it? Of that, and then
I love your dissection of it. I totally follow what you're saying. I think it's funny. I think he definitely, to Lauren's point, he absolutely made the right decision. But I completely get what you're saying. That from a from a mathematical kind of standpoint, statistically.
Yeah. Yes, but I am glad to see that a player like Deshaun does not go home based on picking a box randomly.
Yes, that would have been super irritating. So it all worked out.
It would have. It would have been. It would have been the only thing that would have given me consolation is that he might have gone home anyway. But yes. All right. Was there before at least we get to? So Danny wins immunity. Is there anything before the tribal that really interested either of you?
Not particularly. No.
Lauren, what about you?
I guess I got to say, what a moment, though, for Danny winning that immunity.
Oh, yes.
You could just see how much that moment meant to him, dropping to his knees, because it's just when you make it that far in a game and just knowing everything that you've been through throughout the course of the entire game, it's been a tough season on all of them, and just guaranteeing yourself final six, that's a huge moment for somebody.
Final six with what he was dealing with that day.
Mm-hmm.
I think Survivor's been getting sloppy with their who's going to win immunity edits. Yeah, you definitely have been getting like heavy tastes of that, I feel like, the last few years more than in old school. Yeah. Maybe just because we're all getting so used to how the game is played.
I think they kind of had to. They're like, all right, Danny won immunity. Now we have to explain this. And you're like, oh, Danny's on the screen. I wonder why.
To be fair, though, about Danny, I didn't actually think that was going to be Danny's type of challenge to win, to be completely honest.
You're not wrong.
So I was surprised by a couple people that did decide to play, because it's a ballsy move to take that risk.
What would you do, Matt?
I would play. I would definitely play. I would. How many people were there?
Seven.
Six or something? Seven. Total. Yeah, I feel like I would have probably got to do is not be last. And again, I don't see. We don't know what wasn't aired, or maybe you guys do. I don't get deep into it afterwards. But if they were maybe told by Probst just off camera that it was a 1/3 chance, I wouldn't have played for a 1/3 chance. I would have thought when he was talking that it would have been a 50-50 shot. I would have taken that odds of 50-50 and go stack that on top of the odds of me not coming in last of the remaining players. Like, those are pretty low odds, and I would have probably played.
Yeah. Lauren, what about you? What would you have done?
Oh, I would have sat out 100%. I would kill the competitor side in me. But realistically speaking, if I'm all the way out there, I would want to be voted out because people out-strategized me. People were more social than me. And I would want to have that chance to be able to go back to camp, pitch my case to others, corral an alliance, and keep myself in the game than it just coming down to chance. Because let's be real, my luck fucking sucks. So I know myself. And if I ever encounter that, I would absolutely sit out.
My thing is, if I'm at final seven, I'm hopefully in a position where I don't need to win immunity to keep going. Because my take on this is always, if you need to win immunity, you're doing something wrong. Hopefully I'm not in that position. The only way I do play in that challenge is if I know 100%, like, I am the big target. Like, there's a sign. I have the target logo on my head. Like, there is a bullseye and I have no shot of staying unless I win. In that scenario, I play. Every other scenario, I sit out because I'm like, no, I'm not going home. Because
of any randomness. I'm not letting randomness take him.
I don't know. I think Survivor way more than Big Brother, like exponentially more, is like the people who go home don't think they're going home. I think you're just to go like, unless I have the target square on my head, but these people often don't think
I'm not, I'm not saying I couldn't go home, but unless there's a shot, like unless it's dead certain I am going home if I don't win immunity, why don't I like sit out of the challenge and then have the chance to at least know that it, a strike of luck is not taking me out. That would kill me.
But another thing we're not factoring into the situation is the shot in the dark, which was introduced on this season. No, but I'm trying to, like, I'm relating it to this challenge in particular. Because they chose to sit out. And so you have to mentally think in your mind, I still have the shot in the dark, which is also a chance to keep myself safe. So if I really feel that nervous going into the tribal council, I can sit out, play the shot in the dark. Maybe that'll work out for me, because at the end of the day, you have to look at one person wins immunity. You taking the risk to then play in the challenge, you could be first out and then leave it up to chance to go home. If you do that, you still have the option to sit out. Therefore, you have the shot in the dark in your back pocket, and then you can also strategize and go around camp and see where other people's heads are at within the game. So I think you give yourself more options by sitting out.
Fair enough. Fair enough. The other thing, the reason I said, oh God, with a shot in the dark is not that I don't like the risk. I actually do like the risk. I kind of forgot it was in the game until Liana mentioned it right before tribal. And then throughout this tribal, like so much is happening. Joe's like, oh yeah, tonight's the last night to play it. I forgot to mention that. I'm like, oh, okay. I guess it's the last night.
Matt, what was your take on the shot in the dark being introduced?
I forgot completely about it. It was a twist is insignificant, unnecessary. I completely forgot.
Do you like them having like, all right, you have a 1 in 6 shot of safety if you give up your vote?
I would do it with like as much mid-game twisting as you can possibly.
If you gave me the reins, at least for a season, I'm saying get me the best cast of people I can, put an idol at every camp and stop.
Yeah,
that's what I would do.
Yes.
But
boom.
But since I can't do that, I have to like say, all right, here's this one I like, here's this one I don't like. And honestly, the shot in the dark is one that I would at least keep, if not
I'd keep, because it's like I think the contestants forgot about it too. So it's a great twist because nobody cares about it, and then maybe no one will even use it.
Well, Liana brought it up, so Liana.
Yeah, she was the only one, I think, right?
She always thought about it, so she knew that she wasn't in the best position, and that's the thing that I'm talking about. She still chose to sit out, even though she thought, I might not be sitting in the best spot with my alliance members at the moment.
And then she didn't play the shot in the dark, so.
No, I that's totally valid, but I'm saying it's still an option that you have in your back pocket. But the problem with the shot in the dark is you then lose your vote. And so your vote could extremely matter when it comes down to the final 7 decision.
For sure. And before we get to the one person that I was most interested by with the decision was Erica. And it's the classic decision. Do you take with you the person you trust, or take with you the person that's a bigger threat to you, and like what do you weigh? And I think at final 7 is where that line to me starts to blur, instead of always being, you know what, let me take the bigger threat, like keep them in the game even though they're my ally. Final 7, final 6 is like where, you know what, no, my friend has to go, they're gonna win the game. But Matt, what would you have done in this situation if you're Erica?
If I was Erica, yeah, I'd probably, it's tough because Erica's not really winning much, right? I mean, the person making the decision is a factor. Like, if I was Erica, the physical embodiment of Erica, I might have taken out Ricard. But if I'm me in Erica's position, where I go, you know, I have a better shot. If I thought I could possibly win out, I mean, all you need is that one opportunity, and 7 people left, or 6 after this tribal. At that point, I probably would have.
The thing is, here's the thing though. There are 6 people left. We have 2 more votes. 2 more votes. So like we have a vote at 6, the last vote where people can play idols as well. And then fire making at 4 more than
likely. Do we know that they're still fire making? I mean,
I'm assuming I would assume it's there because it makes my game harder until I'm told it's gone.
And if that's fine. I just like to bring up new. They have had so many new twists on this season. We never know what they're going to come up with. So there.
What are we going to do? Do or die at Final Four? All right, the two people left. You're going to have to like pick randomly, and one of you goes home. Great.
Is Sia still giving money out to people she likes? Or is that, are we done with that?
Who knows?
We don't know.
No one knows.
Wasn't she the Sia prize?
No. Yeah. So it's funny that Tiffany's Ponderosa video. She mentioned the Sia money, and I was dying laughing because then she goes, oh, no one's seen this yet, so this can't be a thing. So she mentioned the Sia money, so we could very well see on this.
Really?
She mentioned it. I doubt it. In her Ponderosas, I doubt it's happening, but then again, you never know. Maybe Sia's in the Christmas mood. I just found out she has a Christmas album. Fun fact. But yeah, no. Who knows? Who would get the Sia money, though, if she does give out money? Because it used to be the person who saved the animals. And then it just became, who does she like? Or who has, like, a hard story? So who is it?
Well, Sia did give out money to multiple people on 39, so you never know.
Let's assume it's one person, just to make it simple.
Matt, what do you think?
I don't know. If I was like a starving kid or someone with some disease and I'm watching Survivor and she is giving like tens of thousands of dollars to these people because she liked my TV, I'm starving.
You know what, Matt? I think you were campaigning for the Sia money before the Sia money was a thing.
I would love some Sia money.
With the lie about your wife.
I want to hit up Probes and see if they'll do like a Matt prize. They'll give like $20 to my favorite Survivor and they'll promote my Twitter or something for me.
$20. Yeah, I don't know. I'm thinking Ricard might get it if there was a thing. I feel like she would like Ricard.
Ricard's a really strong choice. The thing is, it's so hard to predict because Sia's very unpredictable herself. Yeah. So you just never know how Sia is thinking, and that's why I can't really pinpoint a name. So I'm hoping to see who gets the Sia money and what the reason is behind it.
Sia should get a vote in the final.
Oh, stop! No! Stop! You're the one who hates the twist more than me. Giving Sia a vote would like be like I would be ranting for an hour.
Biggest twist in Survivor history.
Right. So Matt, you said if you were Erica, you would have taken out Ricard here. Lauren, what would you have done?
I think I would have. Yeah, given Erica's,
Well, I said that I think they might have missed their opportunity, but here's the deal.
Erica in particular, do you think
I'm going to get there. Damn. All right. Damn. All right. Killing me today. I think the window was missed potentially for Erica, but also you have to factor in this scenario as well. Xander has the extra vote in that situation. And from Xander's game point here, Xander thinks that keeping Ricard around provides Xander a shield, which I actually think is very true. And so Xander could have went to Erica and basically put her in a tough situation saying, I'm going to play this extra vote. So there's really no chance for you to be able to flip because they have the numbers. So you really have to look at it from that piece right there. We didn't see that conversation unfold, so we don't exactly know if that did happen. But I do think for Erica, she should have gotten rid of Ricard, but I don't think she would have been able to make it happen because Xander really wanted to keep Ricard in the game to provide Xander a shield, which I'm totally gung-ho for. And I think Xander's best move going into the next segment with six people left is getting out Ricard.
Yeah. I originally was on the side of, oh my God, Erica, what are you doing? Take out the threat. And then I thought about it more with where we're at. We're at six now. She has a pretty good hold. I would say she's the person who's almost kind of in control of like that little alliance. I would say she's probably in the best, like at least strategically in that position. I would rather have a 4-2 advantage and say, you know what? Danny wins immunity. Fine. We take out Deshaun. Deshaun wins immunity. Take out Danny. And then at that point, you still have the idol on your side. Yet, and then more than likely, you're able to take Ricard out if you want to. There, you take Ricard out at six, you still have a 3-2 advantage going into five if you really want that.
Yeah, but here's my big issue. You're saying you still have that idol on your side. That is Xander's idol. Xander's playing that idol 100% for himself.
Okay,
The biggest thing that needs to happen for, if we're talking about Xander's game for a moment here, Xander winning immunity in the next round is going to be crucial for Xander. Xander wins that, then he has some agency, can save that idol for himself, play that idol at five, and then I think from there could really set himself up in a good spot. But we also have to factor in this. I think there is something else hidden out there because you saw in the preview that people were looking. So that's going to be another factor that you have to look at.
For sure. My thing is, one, I don't know if Xander's really going anywhere, but I also don't know the agency that Xander has at this point. I think in terms of the alliance, what Erica has to worry about is not Xander playing the idol for himself, which like that would be fine. I think the only concern of hers would be he's not going to play for anybody else. And if, which he probably won't at this point, he's definitely almost, I would imagine he's not going to play it for Ricard. And if she has that assurance that he won't play it for Ricard, then you take out Ricard next.
Matt, so at least I see the merit. Xander has a chance to win this game, because I actually, as the episodes have gone on, I do think Xander has a pitch for himself if he makes it to the end.
100%. I think he beat Erica right now. I think he wouldn't beat Ricard. I think he's the next in line outside of Ricard. I feel like,
really?
You're making the case that he has now made it to final three. So if he's where he's at right now and makes it to final three, I think he's gonna have just as good, not just as good.
I think the one scenario he wins is if he's against Heather and Danny. That's, I think, his really only shot. Because I think,
ooh, you're cutting out Danny. I think Danny has a shot for sure.
Oh, I think Danny has a shot for sure. But if I'm going in order of like
not against Xander,
ranking who I think does well, like say it was a fuss, like Ricard's one, Deshaun and Erica flip 2 and 3. I think they're pretty close.
Really?
Yes, I do, and I can explain why. Then you probably put Xander and Danny, maybe flip them around, because I don't think that jury still takes Xander seriously enough. I think they would give him some credit, and then Heather's last. I don't think anybody is.
See, I think Erica hasn't played flashy enough to make a good case. She's going to try, but I don't know.
I think it's this jury
– She has the hardest pitch, I feel.
I think this jury is a little bit less focused on flashy moves. But if you want to go flashy, she's the one who orchestrated the sham blind. She's the one who like plotted out the sham blind set of where each vote was going. And I think if Ricard's on that jury, that means she would have had to have gotten Ricard out. I think those two moves together get her enough to win. Also – the fact that Danny and Deshaun could say, you know what, we've been gunning for Erica. We knew how big a threat she was, and she got to the end and beat us. I think that's possible.
Yeah, but the other thing we're not factoring in here is my biggest issue with this entire situation. If I'm out there, Heather needs to go at some point, because Heather can then take somebody else's spot at that final tribal council, because Heather's getting no votes. So I think people really need to start thinking about that. Not getting rid of Heather at 6, but Heather needs to go at like 5. Because if you let Heather keep going, guess what's going to happen? Heather's going to latch on to a few people. They're going to take her to the end. She's going to be a 0 vote finalist. And then everyone's going to sit there wondering, oh, I should have taken Heather out, because guess what? Heather took my spot in the end.
Honestly, I'm the one latching on to Heather at this point. I'm saying, Heather, come with me. We're going to the end.
Right. No, that's smart. But only so many people can latch on to Heather. So the people that aren't fully aligned with Heather at the moment need to consider that.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. Matt, what do you think? Who?
No, Lauren's right. I mean, if you're not on the Heather train, you got to get her out. But I mean, I'm with you, Alex. I'd try and hop on that other train if I could. That's what I'd ride.
Yeah. All right.
But that's where I'm saying with Erica and Heather, you can see that they're very much aligned with each other. We haven't gotten in a confessional, of course, so we don't exactly know that. But we do see them in lockstep with each other at the shelter. So I think Erica is making a great decision for herself, staying connected with Heather, because Erica has a strong chance at the end if Heather is with her. I think Erica's biggest issue that she could run into is being able to fully explain what her game is. She has played a good game, but it's getting people on the jury to buy into that's actually what you did in the game.
That's a fair point, and I think my confidence is in that Erica could do it, especially if she makes a big move getting her card out.
But you don't have confidence Xander can do that, because I actually think Xander could as well.
For the reason of, I think, the people that were on his tribe, especially Tiffany and Evie, I don't think they take him seriously enough. I think that a lot of them think, oh, he's still that goofy guy. Oh, he has an idol. That's cute. But I don't think there hasn't been a moment yet since like really the Sydney vote where he had any bit of control. It was just he's kind of been aloof the whole time, and I don't think that's going to win with this jury.
Matt, do you factor in people that are players that are a little bit younger than others being able to actually give them $1 million?
What do you mean by that?
Well, with because Xander we've seen 20. On people, we've seen in
oh, like season, this kid like, doesn't need $1 million right now.
Correct.
That kind of idea.
Yeah.
you know, me personally, again, if, like, we are all playing this game. Like, then why even cast the guy is my take on that. You know, who cares if he needs it? Who cares if he wins the money and sets it on fire on finale night and goes, fuck you guys, I don't even care about this money. It doesn't matter. He won the game. It's his money. Like, there's no one to say, like, what? It doesn't matter what people do with the money. It doesn't matter.
I agree with you, but I do think that is one thing that goes against him is the fact that he is that young and it's going to be harder.
Oh, people will use it against him.
Yeah, that's people will use it against him.
But the reality of the situation is it should not matter. I was on a jury where someone was saying that to one about one of the, this kid doesn't need the money, I would speak up and be like, it doesn't matter if he needs it or not. Like,
one thing I want to get.
That's what I think Xander can do. I think if Xander does sit in the end, if that is even a thing that is brought up about him being young and not wanting to give him the money, I think he will be able to work himself out of that and explain, don't look at my age, look at what I did in the game. If you can sell people on what you did in the game and why it is worth it for someone to reward you $1 million, people should. You should base it on who played the best game, not looking at someone's age. Because as you're right, Matt, saying, what's the point of casting people that young if they have no shot to win? And it's funny because Jeff's saying we want 16-year-olds on the season. Stop. I guarantee if a 16-year-old made it to the end of the game, someone would have a really tough time giving a 16-year-old $1 million.
Well, that's like saying, should we not cast like super old people, like a Rudy character, because they're going to die soon. They don't need $1 million. You know what I mean? It's just crazy. Like if they play, if people play a good game, you play a good game.
I don't think that Xander can't win because of his age. I think the thing that's hampering Xander with his age is like the whole personality and the fact that he hasn't really had control for the whole season. He's kind of just been skating by.
He has a good underdog story though, because you have to look at this.
Exactly.
Yeah. He has an underdog
story. Making it through the pre-merge without being able to vote, you did something right in the sense of creating connections with people.
I'm not denying that. I just don't think his odds are super high. I think he has a shot. I just don't think it's a super high shot, even with the underdog story.
Well, it's depending on who he's sitting next to, because I think he has a strong case. My biggest concern is if, say, Heather is not sitting in the final tribal council, then you have three, in my opinion, really strong contenders. I could see votes getting, you know, mixed up here and there where it's very, very split, which is going to be interesting tribal council, because I don't like seeing a runaway. Yes, the people that get the runaway votes absolutely deserve their win. They played an amazing season. I just don't think that this season is one of those. I think we're going to see jury members really contemplating who they're actually going to be voting for in the end.
Yep. I'm excited to see. And if Xander makes it at the end, more power to him. I give him all the credit in the world. I'm just wondering what his shot is at this point. It's interesting to see.
Matt, do you think anyone, if they make it to the end at this moment with what has happened in the game, has a clean sweep?
No way. Not this season.
Yeah, I think you can maybe make an argument for Ricard.
That would be the only
maybe.
He'd have to be against probably Heather and Danny, I feel like, in order for that to happen.
Yeah. All right. So shall we talk about the really important moment from Tribal, the moment that really, I guess, took the internet by storm. It took every bit of social media by storm. Are you both ready to talk about that?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So what I thought we could do, and if you're both okay with, is I just want to play the clip, one of the clips Liana had about just her experience being a Black woman who's playing Survivor now. If you're both okay with that, I'm just gonna let her say it, because you know what, I can't do it any better than she can. So here we go. All right.
Everywhere I go as a Black woman, I'm a Black woman first. It doesn't matter if I'm a student at Georgetown. It doesn't.
CBS, find this. They're just cutting you off.
Next summer, when people look at me, they see a Black woman. And I take that with me wherever I go. And there is no question that we're coming out of a year like 2020, where people are just now becoming conscious of the fact that being Black actually means something and has this kind of currency that can kill you. literally kill you. And doesn't mean that Black Death is like this new thing. Like Emmett Till happened so many years ago and nobody really like seemed to care then. And now it's become this thing, right? And so coming here to play this is about uplifting other Black people and giving Black people something to root for besides everything else that's out there that's killing us. And then not only that, how beautiful is it that we're starting out with a cast with 50% POC, right? There's another Black woman right there that looks like me who's also playing this game with me. Another piece to that is that the fan base that is watching this, for them to meet a Liana or a Shan or a Danny or a Deshaun, like they get to understand that Blackness is not, you know, this monolith, this one thing. Like we're all types of Black. We're Black in different ways. And to Deshaun's point, it's like, we love this game too. We don't just want to have this all Black alliance and throw strategy out the window. Like we want to play, we want to, you know, like let's get Shan out because she is a huge threat. Like we want to do both, but how do we do it at the same time? And of course that's a factor when we're playing this game. Like I'm Black wherever I go. That's just it.
Danny.
All right. Coming out, it's, I can't, all I can say is well said, Liana. Lauren, what did you think just watching that live?
Well, watching it live, and then I've actually watched it multiple times again since then. And I just have to say, very, very powerful moment. And it's something CBS needed to show everyone, because at the end of the day, people have to be willing to listen. These conversations need to be had. And just to be able to watch and listen to Liana's words and hear everything that she had to say in that moment was so important for me, because I want to be someone that is able to listen, to be there and show my support, because it's just something that isn't talked about enough and it needs to be shown more. And I'm so glad that was shown on our television screen. And I want to bring up another point as well, towards the end of the tribal, where Liana, feeling as though she needed to apologize to viewers if that's not something that they want to see, she shouldn't have to feel like she needs to apologize. She doesn't need to apologize. And I think everything she said, very well said, and even getting the perspectives from Deshaun, from Danny, and we didn't get to hear from Shan, but they kept clipping to Shan, and seeing the emotion in her eyes and how much that moment meant to her as well was also very important. She wasn't able to say anything, but you can see it in her eyes, in her facial expressions, how important she knew that that conversation needed to take place at that tribal council.
For sure. Matt, what, you have anything to add on that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I'm an old white guy, I shouldn't be speaking a word about this. But I thought even the Deshaun, you didn't play it or anything, but I thought it was very interesting to hear him kind of vocalize that the dilemma of like, look, I'm playing this game strategically. I should be taking her out. But like, then there's this cultural thing where then I shouldn't be taking her out. And it's like, you know, these white people don't ever have to think about that. They just take whoever they want to take out, if they're white or Black or whatever. And so it's like this game within a game. And I think that was like really interesting. And I think, you know, in the way that Liana vocalized that impeccably, and I agree she did, I thought he also vocalized that kind of struggle pretty well, to the point where Shan left the game calling him a snake. And I do feel that by the time tribal was over, like I feel like he roped everyone kind of back on board with that. It was not as easy as just like making that game move. And that was really difficult. And I say this as someone who obviously supports, I fully agree with all this, but I also agree that he did the right thing. I mean, I think that he was in a game, and I like that they gave him the opportunity to not just, I like that he did the right thing. And in my opinion, you know, taking, you know, he's in a game, play the game, but then they also gave him that opportunity to go, look, I did this and here's why I did it. And I understand that there was this other side and I'm aware of it. I wasn't blind to it. I wasn't trying to like go against my culture. And they let him kind of explain. I think that's cool that they handled it that way.
Yeah. I could just say from that whole thing, it's just incredible. And hearing people, Black people talk about stuff like this over and over, and it just breaks my heart every time. And it also, I think like Heather and Xander have both said, there are things that like I was unaware of for a long time, and it's amazing when we get to take a step back, when we actually do take that step back, be real allies to our Black friends that need it, and listen, and hearing what we can do, such simple things we can do to make a giant difference. And just to get another a take on this, I actually reached out to the winner of Ghost Alan Wendell, and I just he gave me a little bit from him that I'm just going to quote him on. You guys are ready for this. So he said, but I will say that people should just really take the time to just listen to what was said at Tribal last week, listen to the stories and the real life issues and the difficult things that Black players have to grapple with in the game, listen to Xander speak on privilege, Danny speak on allyship, and Heather speak about her blind sides, and think, do I have any blind spots in my life? Are there things that other people have to go through that I am not really am not understanding? Do I have purposeful blind spots? Is it my own willful blindness that isn't allowing me to see added struggles that a group of people are facing? And I could fully say it with like the way I grew up. Yeah, for a lot of it, it was, I could say yes to me. For in my case, it was, I'm just like everybody else. Everyone's treated equally. Sure, that's like what I thought. And that's the way we would like it to be. And yeah, maybe there aren't laws on the books that like say, oh, minorities can't do this. We're not at the days of like, oh, we're drinking out of different water fountains in it. But it goes way, way beyond that. Years of racism have unfortunately are still here. All this stuff is still here. And hearing, I can echo Xander's points 100% about that privilege that the three of us have, not having to have thought about this. When we like do anything, we're not representing really anybody, pretty much. So it's just that other layer. And I think seeing a season like this, seeing, like they've all said, the work of the Black survivors really culminate in this, and getting a group this diverse that can really, like they all were saying, show the rest of the world how they can coexist and how they can lift each other up and really be there when they need it. That was what really got me. And everything Liana said was just textbook. It was so on the money, so moving, and so accurate.
It was a really moving and powerful tribal council as a whole, and just seeing Deshaun there getting emotional, because Deshaun came out there to represent and wanted to be able to play his own game, but at the same time you're there with so many different people, and then you have Danny, Shan, Liana, and he was sitting there with them and they were working together as a group. And I feel like he was just struggling with playing my own game versus playing for the culture. And him in that moment, just the emotion that came out of him was beautiful to watch, in the sense of his struggle was so difficult, knowing that he felt that he really hurt Shan, voting Shan out. And I loved where Danny clipped in and was like, hopefully that's a conversation that you and Shan can have outside the game. And I know, based on Shan's reaction from the jury, the way she was looking at Deshaun, they are going to have that conversation. And I think it's so important that they do have that opportunity when the season is indeed over. But overall, just the tribal council, the biggest word you can just say is powerful. I'm glad CBS showed it. And I'm also glad that we are going to be getting all of this diversity in future seasons. And so the entire push to make this happen is truly amazing. And I'm glad that this is the direction CBS is going in the future.
Yeah.
Do you know, would Deshaun have known about that 50% casting mandate prior to going into play, or no? Would he have found out?
Like, think they did.
I think they did. I think they did as well. I think they knew about it.
I know, right? The Big Brother people would have known, but I didn't know. Yeah. If they're saying, I think it was take first, right?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, well, and see, that's another thing I almost wanted to bring up and touch on, that Survivor filmed before the Big Brother season.
And cookout and stuff. Yeah, it's crazy.
Right, before we saw everything that unfolded with the cookout, which was another thing that needed to definitely happen. And it was beautiful to watch how that entire season unfolded. So they were out there and they didn't know anything revolving around what was going to happen in Big Brother, because this happened first.
And And it was so nice to see. So we get Liana saying that moment. We get Danny talking about, like, look how we're interacting. Look how we're an example. And I love that, putting it that way. Xander talking about his privilege. Danny talking about, like, having allies. And then I think the Heather bit was also really nice about how she's, like, an older woman. And a lot of people will say, oh, I'm, like, older. I'm set in my ways. This is how I grew up. This is how I did things. People in my own family are like that. I know some of you were like that. And it's so tough to change. And really to change and admit you were wrong. And it takes a lot to do that. But once you're able to do that and put your pride aside and say, you know what, I did this thing, whether I meant to or not, and I'm treating people the right way before, it's all about admitting, hey, let me turn to people who are being mistreated and let me listen to them on how I can help them. That's one of the things that – one of the reasons I wanted to get Wendell's take. He couldn't come on tonight, but to get his take on that and really learn how we can all be better allies there. The last thing.
Am I understanding that I was a second choice, Alex? Is this what I'm hearing?
No. What? You were on the podcast. What? You were on the podcast a while ago. I wanted Wendell to come on and join you.
Okay. I'm catching you in something here, Alex.
Oh, come on. No. I want to
stuck with. So we got stuck with this Big Brother guy from like 12.
No, years. I had you first. Okay. We had this scheduled well before the episode happened. Okay. You know this. You can attest to this, right?
I'm just saying you almost slighted Matt here in this situation.
I almost did, but I didn't. You can't do that.
I was about to get the call and get bumped to a new week when Wendell
I wanted Wendell on to come on and like talk a little bit about that, but he couldn't. So I got his take. But the thing that really one of the things that like was like a nice finishing touch to this was at the end, Lauren, you mentioned it, Leon talking about like how like the apology of sorts that wasn't really an apology of why do we have to talk about this on a when, like when I just want to watch Survivor. And I actually do want to play that. That's a little shorter clip, but I also can't do justice and neither can any of us about like why it's important. So let me just let Liana take it away.
Something hard perhaps for viewers back home is like, you know, I just want to watch Survivor. Like, why is this, you know, all this like kind of real life elements kind of have to jump into the game when it's suddenly super diverse. To those people, I understand, but you know, it just means that we're human beings and the game is a little bit more complex and we're a microcosm of the real world too. So I'm sorry if some people feel that way from, you know, this kind of moment, but that's, I think that's important to note too.
Yep, and that's why I brought it up, because Liana's even thinking in that moment, she's thinking that way where people could be, as viewers, having that thought process where we don't want to hear about this. And she shouldn't have to feel that way, because I think it is so important that they had it in the episode. And just overall, how I would wrap this entire thing up is just being able to listen, being able to show support, uplifting one another, and just being there for each other.
Yeah.
Well, like regarding what Liana just said, you know, there's like a bit of, it's kind of ironic, the landscape of how reality TV has evolved, because, you know, she's making this apology, like, I just want to watch Survivor. And in a way, it's not that. For me, it's not that at all. It's not that, like, oh, I wish this show wasn't being inundated and Big Brother wasn't being inundated with these social issues. But what it is that these shows have become so different in the most ironic way, that what drew me into reality TV, even though it's called reality television, is these people were characters that the best Hollywood screenwriters couldn't write. And the situations were embarrassing and scandalous and crazy. And these people were fucking mental beyond belief. But it's reality TV. It's like, I don't know anybody like this in my life in reality. Now what's happened is now reality TV is reality. Like, we're just seeing, I'm listening to Liana talk and I'm going, yeah, I agree with all of this. I don't think she's crazy at all. This makes perfect sense. And now we're watching reality TV, like just real people. And it might not be as like exciting. And it's not like this Bad Girls Club world of chaos anymore, but it's just a different show. And I'm with you. She doesn't need to apologize for it, but there's a cognizance that reality TV has for better or worse, turned into reality. It's an actual reality now. And now we're in it. It's not just like this, these characters.
Yeah. And I'll just end on this. She obviously didn't have to, but I love that that was in there. I love that she addressed it, because so many people that may not have like agreed with all that, they got to almost be confronted directly in that. Like, that would be their first question. And that is, because I know like in the past I've had like people ask it to me, like well before I was asking it. And now I know why. And really, Leon explained that there is like, perfect. This is why it's important. the fact that people still don't want to hear, don't want to change or really be allies is why this needs to be there. It was just beautiful, really beautiful beyond belief. And the fact is, Liana's younger than me. I'm 21. She's like a couple months younger than me. And she is just so incredibly 21? Wise. Yeah. She's 21.
Yeah, at that time,
she's incredibly wise. And she's like so much stronger than me, too. Like for all that she's been through, it's incredible. Just incredible.
And Survivor has a history of like really good kind of tribal council moments, like those speeches. Mm-hmm. And you go, how the fuck do these people just come up with this off the top of their heads? It's like, oh, and maybe it's because Survivor gets into the music and stuff. I don't know what it is, but like this happens where I like, you get moved on Survivor.
And this
is not the first season. Shit like
this is one, though, that I'm not going to forget. I don't think ever. Like this is one of the moments where Survivor bleeds into real life so much that I remember it, like from getting up from my couch afterwards, and not just because I talk I'm podcasting about it, or because I'm a Psycho fan. So like, you know what, that is something that I can carry in my real life, and I appreciate that, because in the past we've had things that I carry in my real life that's like, no, I wish I didn't see that. But
I've heard from many people, like just the feedback of this tribal council, that this is a tribal council people will go back and look upon and just, you know, show people that don't watch Survivor this powerful moment, because a lot of people don't watch Survivor, but this moment should still be shown because it's important.
100%. And I want to, Liana, thank you for saying that. To everybody in that cast, I can't thank you all enough. And to Wendell and Bryce, who I was able to talk to about all this and really give their voices to this, thank you to the both of you. I love you both. All right.
Beautiful cast.
I want to formally apologize to Wendell for taking his spot tonight, too.
You so, did.
If you're listening, I'm sorry about that. You'll get him next time, buddy.
We're never going to let that go. See?
No, this is
your fault. You can never.
Okay,
let
you know what? It is my fault that I wanted Wendell to join Matt and join us and talk about it. You know what? Too bad.
You take a Survivor winner on a Survivor podcast over a guy who was last on TV.
I didn't say over. Why is this an over? Crazy decision. We can have four people on here. It's not impossible. But I'm not going to do that anymore. All right. So we talked about it a lot. So I'm just going to kind of skip over it. Not skip over it, but skim over it. We had the do or die. Deshaun picks the left box. Jeff opens the right one. He stays. He wins. Oh my God. And then Liana gets sent home in a 5-3 vote where Xander played his extra vote.
Can we talk about for real quick after that entire situation, the celebration and then Ricard's face when Jeff's like, it's time to vote, and Ricard's doing a double take, like, oh shit, we're actually voting. And I also think in that moment too, people were celebrating Deshaun being safe. And then I think everyone's saying, they're like, oh shit, I could be going home now. And so kind of doing a little bit of a double take, getting back into that position. All right, we're voting and I still could be vulnerable. So what's going to happen?
It's like one of those things of like, all right, after this big talk and like everything moving, it's like, all right, usually it's like a vote will cut the tension. No, Jeff cut the tension with the twist. And then after that, you're like, oh, he survived. All right, we can go home now. No, you can't. But yeah, Liana, I'm so happy she was on this cast. She exceeded my expectations in terms of gameplay, in terms of character, in terms of everything. And Liana's just like a person that like I want to get to know more and learn more from after the season. And I really hope that she's willing to talk about it more, because she's a shining light in this world, and I know she's going to do great, great things after this game. All right. Are we ready to take a quick break and then jump back in to rate the final six players in the game?
What are the people listening to right now? They're just going to chill out?
Yeah.
Oh, they'll listen to the ad.
They'll listen to an ad. All right, here we go.
It's interesting.
All right. Yep. We'll be back in a couple minutes. All right.
Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck.
Researched and developed for 3 years to be made for people, not patients. Lucy has created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine in cherry ice flavor. Each and every flavor actually tastes great and is convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, or even in the gym.
I am so happy that Lucy is sponsoring us. Ever since they came on board, I have gotten no less than 5 of my friends transitioned over to Lucy and put their cigarettes down. They like the gum. I'm used to seeing the packages all around. This stuff is great, and it's really helping people make much healthier choices. So get on board and join the Lucy movement.
Hey, it's 2021. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple that you don't even have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down.
Reality NSFW listeners, go to lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR to get 20% off all products, including gum or lozenges. That's lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. That's lucy.co, and be sure to use that promo code SURVIVOR.
This episode of Reality NSFW is sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. That's right, we're giving away super hard dicks.
Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED.
Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor offices, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online.
BlueChew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. BlueChew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA, and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy.
Hey, if you're looking to give that immunity idol to someone, or you don't want to be voted out of a crater, don't worry. Blue Chew's got you covered. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information.
And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's Blue Chew, BlueChew.com, promo code SURVIVOR to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.
All right. Thank you, Lucy and Blue Chew. Matt, I hope you enjoyed.
Nicotine tabs and boner pills? You guys don't even give me a warning about that? That's what's happening?
So normally I do before the podcast, and no one believes me sometimes. So I just thought this time I'm just not going to say anything and just let it happen.
I love that. I thought this was like a kid's podcast.
No.
When did I say that? I never said
that. I just thought.
It's called Reality NSFW.
I know, but you guys, Johnny Fairplay is the guy who
made this.
You gotta get baby faces and stuff. She's like a nice, friendly, you know.
Matt, also,
I'm much older than you probably think I am. So
how old are you? How do we know?
Yeah, I'm 27.
27? Oh, yeah, I would have thought Alex was like 15, and I would guess you're probably like 21. That's crazy.
I'm 21. Yeah, so it's not. But
you never know.
No. Also, Matt, I love you, and I would talk to you about anything. This is like a dream come true, but I would not invite you on a podcast for kids. I'm sorry, I wouldn't.
Yeah, thank you. That's good. Okay, don't do that.
You're welcome. All right, let's get into our tried and true tradition where we rate the final 6 players of the game on a score from 1 to 10 based on how we think they've done in the week, how they're doing in the season, and what we think their prospect on the future is. Are they going home soon? And I guess ultimately the big one is, what's their shot to win?
The odds to win. Yes. It's gonna be interesting, but I cannot wait to hear Matt's takes on these people.
Oh yes. Lauren, why don't you start with Danny? Where are you at with Mr.
Okay, so I'm gonna be more high on Danny than most people, but I still think Danny's sitting in a decent spot. I'm gonna give Danny a 6 because Danny has no votes cast against him. I think he's playing a great social game. And I do think if Danny takes agency of one move in this game, I do see Danny having a potential shot to win, because at the end of the day, you have to look at this. If someone goes to the final tribal council and they are extremely likable, that is a lot of points in my book, because a lot of times people want to sit next to someone that maybe is very disliked, and then therefore you could get the votes going your way. So I'm not going to count Danny out. I think Danny has a shot. I think Danny has done well in this game, but just maybe needs to take an initiative on a vote, and we'll see what happens.
Okay, so you have a 6. I'm half that with Danny. I'm at a 3 for the reason I think he's played a pretty good, he's played a great social game. He's won an immunity. Good on him. Time's running out, and I'm struggling to find out who he's up against that puts him in a position to win. He, I think, needs a big, big move quickly. His time is running out. So right now, that's why I'm at a 3 for him. I don't see his path to winning the game. And I think he might be too loyal to Deshaun. And I think maybe if he's the one who takes Deshaun out, if he can like get Deshaun and Ricard out of game, like almost on his own, that's his shot. I don't think he's doing it. So that's why I'm at a 3 for him. But got to admit, not having a vote cast against you the whole season, mighty impressive. Matt, what do you think about Danny?
I just recapped the rules for me. So we really, this is a scale 1 to 10. Is
that right? Yeah, like
gameplay, does hotness factor into this? Is it specifically
honestly, Matt, anything you want, I am down.
Anything, whatever parameters,
whatever criteria you have, we are here for it.
Yeah, anything you want. Maybe stick to gameplay, but anything you want.
I'll lean towards gameplay. I'll wait.
All right, fair, perfect. That's exactly.
Let me ask you guys this as Survivor historians, because I need this is going to factor in. How successful? I know there's been a lot of like ex-professional athletes have been at Survivor many of times. Did they typically do fine? They do well? Do you remember correctly? Are they?
Typically they don't. Do
I feel
well.
Like he's doing better.
He's definitely doing better.
In comparison to professional athletes, he is doing better than all of them, except I can't remember from Redemption
Cole Pepper
Island.
Came back, right? And he did bad both times.
Cole Pepper did well the second time, actually. I forgot about
Cole Pepper made it to the Cole Pepper made it to the final three, but I'm talking in terms of it being their first season. The only other person that I can't remember his placement, Redemption Island Grant.
Steve did not make it very far. Danny's beaten him.
Wasn't John Rocker on one time when he was like?
Oh God, yeah, John. Let's see, John Rocker.
Did he do horrible? He did horrible. Didn't he?
He was horrible. Okay, Brad was horrible his first time. Jeff Kent did okay, but I think he went in 7th or 8th place. So Danny has beaten him now.
Where did Grant go from Redemption Island?
Grant was Grant an NFL player? Oh, Grant came in, I think in.
Grant might have came in 5th place.
Was he an athlete? I don't remember honestly.
Yeah, he was an athlete.
Okay. Gary Hogan.
Well, he's doing good
like
in
jury.
The scheme of athletes then. But other than that, I don't think he's done. I would not. I'd give him like a 4. He's all right. He's not, he's doing better. He's doing good for his cohort of professional athletes. But I don't think he has much of a chance against many people outside of Heather, maybe.
Nice. All right. And I doubt we're getting a final 2. If we get a final 2, that would change my score, but we'll see. All right. Moving on. Let's start with Deshaun. Let me start with him. Deshaun is a player that I've said for the longest time, I think if he gets to the end, he can win. I don't think he's getting to the end. I think that's even less of a shot now. He just got saved by the do or die twist. I'm going back and forth. I'm probably leaning towards a 5, I think, at this point. Yeah, I was at a 6 last week. I'm down to a 5 for Deshaun this week, just for the fact of he's a pretty big target. It's him and Ricard are like the two big targets. Right now, he doesn't have any idol or advantage. Nobody's playing anything for him. But if he gets to the end, I do think he can win. Just that road to the end is tough, and that's why I'm at a 5. Matt, what do you think about Deshaun?
Where do you guys get these pictures from? This is weird. Like I don't think he's wearing a swimsuit, but he's got his shirt off. But then he's wearing a swimsuit.
These were their press pictures. They took them before the
game. I feel like you should have a shirt on, or you should wear something that's more conventionally swim trunks. It's like
I don't think they give them. They don't give them swimsuits, and they don't want to wear them.
This is going to affect his score, honestly, for me. When I saw his picture came up, I was a little off put by this. I don't know. I was going to go 7. I'm going to go 6 now.
All right. Well, besides that, why do you give him a 6?
Because I think his stock went up after this last travel council, honestly, because he made a great move that a lot of people might have been like, that was a fucking shitty thing to do. And then he got this travel council to go, no, this is why it was not a shitty thing to do. I feel real bad about it. So I think his stock went up a lot.
Yeah. Him and Danny were left out of the vote, though. So this episode was shaky. Lauren, what do you think?
So I'm going to give Deshaun a 6 because I do think being left out of the vote is troublesome, but we see time and time again, even when you are left out of the vote, you're able to get yourself out of that hole. I think Deshaun is someone that is able to do that. Also factoring in what we saw in the preview, I think Deshaun and or Danny could potentially find whatever it is that's hidden because they give us a little snippet of a clip. So I'm relying on that a little bit, but I will say if Deshaun is able to get to that, I think Deshaun will be able to make a strong pitch and case for why Deshaun deserves to win the game. We're just going to have to see if he is able to make it there. I'm a little concerned about potential foreshadowing earlier on in the season with him attempting to make fire. So that concerns me that he could go out at fire. So we're just going to see what happens with Deshaun. But I really like Deshaun. I think he is a good player.
All right. Let's move on to Erica. Matt, why don't you start us off with Erica? Where are you at with her?
Okay. The swimsuit's nice. I guess like it's good. Nothing like wrong with it or right with it. So I'm going to take no points out for this picture in any way. I don't think she has as good of a shot as you do, Alex. I think that if like the players got to watch the season, she might have a better shot. But I feel like given that she has only her claims to go on and her pitch, it's going to be a tough one. I feel like that's just my opinion. So I'm going to rate her. It's tough. If I'm rating, like, what do I think she's playing? I'd put her up at like a 6 or 7. If you have a chance of winning, I'd go like 4 or 5. I think.
All right. That's very fair. Lauren, what about you?
I know I have everyone kind of lumped together in the same spot, which is fine because we're getting really into the end game here because it's all factoring into who I think can make it to the end. So also, Erica is going to be given a 6 as well for me. I think she is playing a really good game, but I want to see Erica separate herself a little bit more from the rest of the crowd here. And I think she could have a tough time if she makes it to the end explaining what she did in the game. Now, has she made moves? Yes, but it's ultimately getting the jury on board with you being the person that was in charge of those moves. So I'm going to lump her right in with Danny and Deshaun. I think all three of them definitely still have a chance to win this game. We'll get to the person who has a 0% chance to win the game, but I still think everyone left aside from that has a shot.
Okay.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I know my turn's over, but I have to notice it says here, Toronto, Ontario, it's Canada, right? I thought Canadians, like, isn't that a Big Brother thing? They had to start Big Brother Canada because you can't play if you're from Canada because of some prize regulation bullshit.
Season 39 was the first time they changed that.
No way. Yeah. Well, could Canadian people play Big Brother too, potentially, in the amazing race and stuff?
Just no,
so far.
Not so far. But here's the deal. Canada, Big Brother, excuse me, can't talk right now, clearly. I think is an amazing show. So I don't think that we should mix those together.
No. I'm just saying, just, the rules. I'm just curious. Right.
BBCan needs to be on its own island, and BBUS needs to be our own thing as well. Because
But you're allowed to now. Like, the Canadians can do this?
Yeah.
Play our games?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. It's okay. Yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
It's all good.
Go for it. I think it's interesting because it just happened in season 39. So it's a very recent thing.
Yeah. And then one player that got in 39 was like a hockey player, so like a former NHL player who lives in the States. All right. Eric, I'm waffling between a 6 or a 7. That means something because I have not given the other players a 6 like you have, Lauren. I'll say 7 for now. I think she is playing a pretty good game. She has a good handle on things strategically. And I think the thing is she has agency. She is at the top of a four-personal, probably at least controlling a four-person alliance for the most part. Ricard also, don't get me wrong, I think Ricard's in a better position. But I think she almost can pretty much for now tell Heather and Xander what to do and they'll go along with it. And I think she's in a position where she can take out Ricard. And if she does, she's in a great position to win. But I agree with what you're saying. It might be tough to sell the jury. That's why I'm at a 7 for now. And she can either go way up or way down, I think, is Erica. And she's the person that can tank her game or rise at the most in the next week or two. We'll see. All right, moving on. Let's get to Heather. Lauren, you said she has a 0% chance to win. Tell me why.
I mean, it's obvious, isn't it? I mean, here's the thing. When we are doing this, we are basing it strictly off of people's gameplay and what we have seen in the season. And so I can't really give an accurate take on Heather because I haven't seen anything from Heather, which tells me that Heather probably hasn't done much in this game. And I don't think, and I know like conspiracy theories have said, she might just like blow us out of the water at Final Six. That's not happening. Anyone that thinks that's happening is in a different mindset other than myself at the moment. I just think Heather is either getting dragged to the end, zero votes, or some people that are not in that particular alliance decide, Heather might take my spot, so I need to get Heather out of this game. So if I'm basing it on if Heather can win the game, I have to give her a 1 because I don't see her winning. So that's my take on Heather.
All right. Wow, you're at the 1. I've vacillated between a 1 and a 2. And the reason I'm going to leave it at a 2 for now, and I will say next week, if we're going into the finale and she's in the same position, she's at a 1. She has no shot in hell. She has a little bit of time to do something. She's not going home next, at least like not clearly going home enough. And she hasn't played badly enough in the last episode for me to warrant it. She was on the right side of the vote. She's got a tight ally in Erica, which is something other players can't say. Her shot to win is next to nothing. So I'm at a 2, and that's being generous. Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say 1. I don't think she has a chance, but this picture is kind of fun. Her bracelet looks almost like a club wristband, like she was out partying, stay-at-home mom. So I'm going to move it up to 2 just because it's like
a 2. Like okay. A good vibe from the picture. All right, 2. But she has no chance. I like when Matt agrees with me. All right, let's talk about Ricard. Let me start with him. Ricard, in terms of win equity, is the highest. In terms of biggest target, is probably also the highest. Him and Deshaun are battling for that title. So I can't go with like a 9 or 10 like I'd want to, because you can't say he's definitely winning the game. If he gets to the end, he's definitely winning, but the path to him getting there is rocky. He's shown all season he can play strategically and he knows what he's doing, so he could get out of a pickle if he gets into one. But could his leash be running out? Maybe. I'm going to give him an 8 for now just because I think he still has a shot. He needs to survive 2 more votes, and that's it. He can show he can win immunity. So we'll see what happens. But I believe in Ricard enough to give him 8. Matt, what do you think about Ricard?
Yeah, Alex, I mean, I know you disagree with me, but I think it's a battle between him and Xander for whoever gets voted out for. I think it's time for one of the perceived big dogs to go.
I could see it. I couldn't see him going home.
Think like that, but I think those are the two from a perception standpoint of the people left in the game. Like, they need to go, and I think both Ricard and Xander perceive each other as the shields because they both kind of think the same thing. So if that's all the case, I'd settle in at about an 8 as well. I think he's in a great position if he can get there, but I don't think both of them are going to get there. I think one of them is going to get there and the other one won't. All right. I just don't know which.
Fair enough. Lauren, what do you think?
So I also have Ricard at an 8 for the sense of, I think if Ricard gets there, very, very strong chance to win this game, ultimately depending on who Ricard sits next to. But I think anyone Ricard sits next to at this moment has a strong chance to get the majority of the votes where it takes the win. My only concern is I think people didn't realize how big of a threat Ricard is. And if they are still able to get him out of this game, I do think they will. So it's going to be interesting to see what unfolds at this final 6 vote, because a final 6 vote is very, very critical in the game of Survivor.
For sure. And I'm also really excited that we get a full episode for the final 6 vote and not have it rushed in the finale. All right. Last but not least is Xander. Matt, why don't you start with Xander, the guy that you have a lot more faith in than me?
I don't know, maybe it's because he gives me like Tyler Crispin vibes. So I have this like golden boy.
I will say early on in the season, I was saying that, and I will maintain it when he played that whole idol play. I will live on that hill that I was right about Xander, that he is very capable strategically. But that isn't why I don't think he has the best shot. Matt, go ahead.
But yeah, I don't know. I think again, one of the two of them is going to make it and one won't, which is kind of a bummer because I think if that in the situation that happens, I think whichever one of them makes will probably win in like a way that's boring. And we know this. I don't know. But it would be cool to have them both together. I settle him very similar to Ricard. I'd put him at an 8 too for the same exact reasons as well. I think he could beast it out in the end and just win the next couple comps and get himself to final three. And just settle in there, which will help his resume too.
Lauren, what do you think about Xander?
So Xander's gone on the up and up for me, and I'll explain why. But first, I will say the number. My number for Xander is 7 at the moment, and here's why. I disagree with what you said, Alex, about Erica being able to get Xander and Heather on her side for doing what she wants to have happen, because look at this last vote. Xander got what Xander wanted from this last vote. Erica was hesitant about wanting to keep Ricard in this game, and Xander was very gung-ho about wanting to keep Ricard in the game because that leaves another shield for Xander. And so I actually think Xander had the pull with what he wanted to have happen. Had Erica had the pull, I think Ricard would have been gone in this situation. So I got to give Xander credit for that. Also to note, Xander has an idol in his back pocket as well, and I do actually think he, unlike everyone else, will play that idol correctly and not get voted out with an idol in his pocket, simply because we're only 2 votes away from the idol needing to be played. And I also will say, I actually think a lot of people root for the underdog story, and it just ultimately comes down to what the jury is looking for when they are rewarding someone $1 million. And we don't know exactly what this jury is, what their dynamic is, what their mindset is, but I think Xander has a strong chance if Xander sits at the end of this game.
Okay. I'm a little lower on Xander for a lot of the reasons I said earlier. I have him at a 4, and I agree with you. Make a lot of good points. The fact that he has an idol, impressive and good for him. I don't think his struggle is getting to the end, actually. I think his target has almost died down a little bit, where there's like, all right, Xander's here. And the one point I want to make that I do disagree with is on the control factor. I think Xander played that extra vote because he didn't know what Erica was going to do. If he knew what Erica was going to do and he was really controlling Erica, if he was controlling Erica, he would have used the extra vote as a bluff and not used it. He didn't. I think Erica really was in control in the decision-making, because if she wanted Ricard gone, she probably could have just told Heather, vote with me and we'll get Ricard out, and it would have happened. So, but I get from Xander's perspective, the move to keep Ricard is good, because he's in a position where he needs allies. And I'm sorry, the fact that you haven't had allies till now doesn't signify to me that you're a great player by any stretch of the imagination. I think he's a good player, and I think with age he would get a lot better. But I think he's going to have a tough time convincing a jury of what did you do after the Sydney vote. The pre-jury stuff, for the most part, does not really get accounted for final travel. Most people don't care too much. I think we'll get a little bit of like, yeah, I didn't have my vote and I made it because we won immunity. I think he might get a little credit there. He'll get some credit for the Sydney vote and giving the out to Tiffany. After that, not much unless he really makes moves at the end, which I hope he does. I hope he makes the game interesting. But that's why I'm at a 4 for him right now, is I don't see him winning as a super likely outcome.
But consider one thing here, though.
All right.
The fact that he has been able to hold onto his idol and gamble by not playing it is a huge deal in my eyes. And I think other people would look at that and say, you know what? He held on to that, could have played it multiple times, chose not to do so. And that's why Xander's sitting at final 6 with an idol still in his pocket.
I can agree with you on it. I agree with you. It's impressive. But I also think you can make the argument, if he didn't have that idol, he would have been gone a long time ago. The threat of the idol is what kept him in the game, which good on him, but I don't think you can also make that argument in that. All right. All right. Lauren, you want to take us out?
Yeah, I can't. Matt, do you have any other thoughts on the episode or anything that you are hoping for with the season going forward from here?
Yeah. No, just a little excitement. Any kind of jumbles and chaos I like. It's been a good season. And yeah, that's it. It's been good.
Matt, I will ask you, who's going home next? Make a pick.
It's going to be Ricard or Xander. I feel one of the two. They're going to target.
Make a pick. Which one?
Okay. I'm going to say Ricard.
All right. Lauren, what about you? Who's going home?
I think if they make the right decision with who is the biggest jury threat at the moment, Ricard should be the vote. But then again, I also can see Ricard winning immunity because Ricard is very good at challenges. So it's ultimately going to come down to who wins that immunity challenge.
Yeah. I think Ricard could win immunity, and that makes things interesting. I'm leaning between Deshaun and Heather, actually. So I think they could take out Heather here at this point. But I am going to say Deshaun's going home. That's my pick. Matt, thank you so much for coming on. This has been an absolute blast to talk about like the silly stuff, the very serious stuff, and everything in between. It was a joy to watch you on Big Brother many years ago. It's been a joy to talk to you today. Thank you so much for coming on.
What happened? Do you guys do more commercials for like sinful bullshit, Plan B or methamphetamines or something? What are you guys advertising now?
You'll see.
So you'll have to stick around for that after
I'm very excited to wrap up everything else that's going on here
on Reality NSFW. We have a double dose of the challenge going on. We are recapping Challenge All-Stars. That will be tomorrow at 4:30 p.m. Eastern time. Myself, Johnny Fairplay, and Alex Trias will be back to talk that episode of Challenge All-Stars. And then on Wednesday, be on the lookout for Johnny will be back on the podcast with Matt Bischoff and Alex Trias talking about episode number 12 of Survivor. And then I will be back again on Thursday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern time to talk the challenge Spies, Lies, and Allies with Johnny Fairplay and Alex Trias. And if you like everything that we're doing over here, become a patron at adfreensfw.com. Johnny and Matt do so much for the patrons. They are in their final episode of covering Australian Survivor, and you can listen to all of that content if you are a patron. Also, they do a weekly Q&A. Will they answer any questions that you have for them? It's very, very interesting. So if you like everything that we're doing, again, it is adfreensfw.com. And with that, Matt, again, thank you so much. Alex, as always, it's a pleasure. Yes. Good night, everyone. Take care.
See you next week.
See ya.
Bye.
Ho, 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 gentlemen. The holidays have come early here at Manscaped, the leading men's hygiene brand. Manscaped just launched new products, including their ultra new, ultra premium body wash and a 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner. It's time to give yourself or someone who needs it the gift of beautiful skin, hair, and balls this holiday season. Go to manscaped.com and use promo code SURVIVOR for 20% off and free shipping.
Jingle balls to the walls. Fellas, listen up. Untrimmed pubes are a thing of the past, and it's possible you have Santa's beard in your pants. Could be Matt Bischoff's. It's time to leave your significant other some cookies and milk at the bottom of your chimney. I'm talking about Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. Oh, now, I had a lot of sex when I got back from my last appearance. I literally had sex 8 times in 12 hours. And I did some damage down there, fellas. I did some serious damage. I had to call my doctor. There was swelling. There was everything else. It was bad. But you know what wasn't bad? My balls, because I shaved them with Manscaped. Oh, there was the lighting at the top of the tree, but the bottom of the tree looked perfect.
Inside the Performance Package 4.0, you'll find the signature Lawnmower 4.0. This electric trimmer has proprietary advanced skin-safe technology to reduce cuts on your nuts. It's also waterproof, so you can use it in the shower. It's like a gift to your partner with less mess. The Manscaped Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Crop Preserver and Crop Reviver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant, moisturizer, and toner. It's time to keep your North Pole feeling and smelling fresh.
This hygiene bundle will also come with a pair of Manscaped anti-chafing boxers. God bless it. I needed and used that this week. I promise you. The perfect package for your perfect package. Manscaped is going beyond the groin with their new ultra premium body wash. It's infused with aloe vera and sea salt to keep your skin feeling clean, nice, and moisturized.
They also just launched their new 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner, which has key ingredients with benefits that include hydrating, nourishing, conditioning the scalp, and strengthening your hair at the same time. Tis the season to load up on Manscaped products. So get yourself, your dad, your brother, your friends, your neighbor, the best gift of all, the Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. Reality NSFW listeners get 20% off and free shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. Every guy out there needs to add Manscaped to their wish list this holiday season.
This is Santa Claus talking to you once again. Get 20% off and free shipping with promo code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. That is 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use promo code SURVIVOR. Clean up your nuts and make Santa proud this year.
We're all trying to eat better, but healthy breakfast doesn't have to be boring. Magic Spoon has the amazing flavors you love, but without all the bad stuff. And it's amazing as a midnight snack right before bed.
0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. That's only 140 calories per serving.
It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, and low-carb. And build your own box. Available flavors to build your very own custom bundle are cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, blueberry, cinnamon, cookies and cream, and my favorite, maple waffle. Now, Magic Spoon recently brought back their two super popular flavors, cookies and cream and maple waffle. Thank goodness. But they're back permanently. And when these flavors were first introduced for a limited time, they sold out extremely quickly. Now, I'm here to let you know you can get them again or try them for the first time. Why? Because they're delicious and indulgent.
Johnny, Magic Spoon has so many great flavors that I really enjoy, and even my kids enjoy them. We have the cocoa, fruity frosted, peanut butter. All these are really great combinations. They enjoy waking up in the morning and getting some Magic Spoon right off to start their day great before they head off to school. I think everybody listening should give Magic Spoon a try, or if you've tried them already, it's time to reorder. Let's get you some more Magic Spoon and get your day started right.
Hey, when I finish a podcast late at night, the first thing I'm thinking is not sleep. It's let me grab a delicious bowl of Magic Spoon before I go to bed.
So go to magicspoon.com/survivor to grab a custom bundle of cereal and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code SURVIVOR at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/survivor. And use the code SURVIVOR to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this podcast.